and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, May 31st, 2021. Authorities in the Greater Pibor Administrative Area say calm has returned in villages after weeks of communal violence.
The situation is calm now because the Gawa youth who came have started to evacuate the area, and now they are on the way to their home areas.
And some vigilante groups in eastern Equatorial State have taken the law into their hands, confiscating NGO properties in Tori Town. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A local vigilante group in eastern Equatorial State known as Monyomiji went on rampage in Tori Town this afternoon and confiscated property of a non-governmental organization. There are unconfirmed reports that the group, made up of young men, beat employees of the South Sudan Red Cross. Two security officials in Juba, who are not authorized to speak to the media, confirmed the incident. South Sudan in Focus made several phone calls to Louis Lobong, the governor of Eastern Equatorial State, for comments, but the calls went unanswered. The group had complained earlier last month that international non-governmental organizations operating in Eastern Equatorial State are not employing locals from the state. South Sudan in Focus will continue to update you on this story. Authorities in the Greater Pibor Administrative Area say calm has returned to the area after weeks of deadly intercommunal clashes. The area's chief administrator says armed young men, believed to be from Jonglei's Ayot County, who allegedly attacked the area, had begun to leave and return to Jonglei. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Joshua Okonyi, the chief administrator of the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, says more than 150 people were killed and over 600 huts were burned down during the fighting. This program was unable to independently verify those numbers. Okonyi says after weeks of attacks, young men from Pibor managed to repulse the gunmen. But Okonyi says the attackers stole an unspecified number of cattle and abducted several women and children. He says calm has finally returned to the area after leaders from Jonglei State's Ayot County moved to de-escalate the violence.
The situation is calm now because the Gawa youth who came have started to evacuate the area, and now they are on the way to their home areas. So the security situation is now improving.
In January, communities from Jonglei State and the Greater Pibor Administrative Area signed a peace agreement at the end of a conference held in Juba. During the conference, the two sides agreed to bury their differences and embrace peace. Leaders from both sides signed a document stating they agreed to return all abductees, punish the perpetrators, and pay compensation to the families of those killed or injured during the attacks, which included revenge attacks. Despite days of clashes in the Pibor administrative area, Okonyi says the two communities will adhere to the peace agreement signed earlier this year.
This is not going to destroy the peace. People fight and are still in peace. The peace we signed in Juba is still the peace we are still going through. So if anything happens, for example, the violation which they have done, I want to tell them that we are still in peace, and I urge them to commit to the peace agreement.
Asked whether he was aware of youth returning to Jonglei from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, Jonglei State Deputy Police Commissioner, Brigadier General Chol Achengdeng, says he has no information about anyone from Jonglei who has abducted children or stolen cattle, but says the police will monitor the situation and arrest anyone who breaks the law. He says what he does know is that at least 6 people were killed and several others injured in PG County last week by armed men suspected being from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area.
On Sunday, I was informed that 6 people were killed in Korflus in a place called Mat. The people killed include 5 men and 1 woman. The attackers, according to the information, are morally criminals because one of them was killed and identified to be from there.
Even though there is talk of peace by Pibor authorities, Jonglei State Acting Governor Simon Hoth-Dwal, who is also the Minister of Law Enforcement, says armed men suspected of being from the Pibor area killed two people and wounded five others in Langkel of Nyerol County.
We know it's coming to the reality. At the moment now, everywhere, the criminals that are attacking the side of our Kobol, side of Nyerol County, side of Nyerol County, even yesterday, then they go up to Pit. You see, even the commissioner was in the commission of the Pang State in Fiji. They wounded last yesterday. You don't see, those are the issues. With everybody, you cannot even accuse the other side because the youth has been really moving. Nobody has been controlled them at the moment, as he put it. But in reality, in all, the people are still committed to have the peace with the Great Jungle. Because you know, Great Jungle, when you talk about Fidor and Jungle, there is still one.
Chief Administrator Konyi urged young men from Pibor not to carry out revenge attacks on neighboring communities. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
The International Criminal Court prosecutor has urged Sudan's transitional government to hand over suspects wanted for criminal charges and genocide in the Darfur conflict. In marking the World No Tobacco Day, the World Health Organization is urging smokers to quit their habit, warning they are at higher risk of dying from COVID than non-smokers. At least 8 million people die every year around the world due to tobacco, according to World Health Organization. As Maureen Odhiambo reports from Milwaukee, U.S., Kenya is launching a tobacco control report findings today, Monday, as the country's smoking population rises.
Today being World No Tobacco Day, the substance kills up to half of the users and an approximation of 1.3 million people die from secondhand smoking yearly in Kenya. 11.6% of Kenyans use tobacco products. Ann Kendagor, the acting head of Tobacco Control Division in the Ministry of Health Kenya, said that the number of Kenyans using tobacco products is on the rise.
We are so much dedicated to the theme, which is commit to quit. And one of the things that the government is trying to do is to create awareness on the availability of help for those who want to quit. We have partnered with many organizations who are offering tobacco cessation services, and we are referring all the tobacco users to some of these facilities so that they can be helped.
Over 80% of world's 1.3 billion tobacco users live in low and middle income countries. Ms. Kendagor says most respiratory diseases in Kenya are as a result of tobacco products.
Tobacco smoking being a major cause of respiratory diseases in Kenya, because we have cases of pneumonia, we have cases of bronchitis affecting children mostly, and even the smokers, the adult tobacco smokers. Just like any other country, we still have a long way to help those who are using tobacco to quit so that they can ensure that their respiratory system is working well.
Despite half of tobacco users dying yearly, Ndungu Chege, a tobacco smoker from Kenya, says he has tried quitting tobacco, but he has failed.
I have tried to quit smoking tobacco, but it's difficult. Cigarette is addictive and very hard to quit. And when you are used to smoking, that is it. I can't even do my job without smoking.
All forms of tobacco are harmful, and there is no safe level of exposure to tobacco. Ms. Kendagor says Kenya is today, Monday, launching a report on tobacco control.
We will be launching a study that was carried out in Kenya in 2018. It is called an International Tobacco Control Study. This was a national survey that was looking at various indicators of tobacco control throughout the country.
The tobacco epidemic is one of the biggest public health threats the world has ever faced, killing more than 8 million people a year around the world. It is estimated that only 4% of attempts to quit tobacco will succeed. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Odhiambo in Milwaukee, USA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, how are African countries surviving without vaccinating their population? That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what kinds of infrastructure improvements are the biggest priority in your community?
I would like my roads to be improved because we are not comfortable with the roads.
I think it is hospital. It's hospital because I'm seeing people suffering with their kids, even mothers, they are suffering when they are pregnant.
Park where children can play and where adults can also meet to hang out will be a big improvement.
For the government to do the street so that when people are driving, their cars cannot be bumping and all over, and the gutters as well. The gutters are full of rubbish and then it's choke as well. If they can clear the dirty things out, it will be perfect.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa has tightened COVID-19 restrictions again, as experts are warning that the country is fast sliding into a third wave of infections that are rapidly rising. Coffee hours have been increased, gathering reduced, and restaurants now close at 10 p.m. For VOA News, Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
Under the new restrictions announced by Ramaphosa, curfew hours now are in effect from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. All gatherings, including religious services, are limited to 100 people indoors and 250 outside. Restaurants, beer halls and pubs have been told to shut down at 10 p.m.
The proportion of COVID-19 tests that are positive has more than doubled in the last month, from around 4% to more than 11%, even as we have increased testing across the country.
Ramaphosa told the nation that daily infections have shot up from around 1,000 2 months ago to about 4,000. Three of the country's provinces, Free State, Northern Cape and Gauteng, which includes the largest city, Johannesburg, have already entered a third wave of infections. Hospitalizations also have increased. Experts have started sounding warning bells. Angelique Kusier is the chairperson of the South African Medical Association.
We need a bit more stricter restrictions, especially around the weekends, because that's when people come together and socialize. So we will have to look and see what the numbers are going to do within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Borders remain open and no restrictions have been put on businesses, leaving many, like Johannesburg resident Jonathan Mbedzi, excited that they won't be hit as hard as during the previous COVID restrictions that left people struggling to feed their families.
It is good because the businesses are still opened. We are working, going to work. Surely we have to a mask up every time when we are in public places.
Lakin Timane from the National Liquor Traders Council says they are also happy that alcohol has been spared after high speculation that it could be banned again.
You know, we are calling for everyone in the alcohol industry space to really comply with all the regulations that the government has set up. We cannot afford to have a situation whereby we are let down by the few, you know, affecting the livelihoods of the millions of people that are dependent on the alcohol industry and the value chain.
To date, more than 1.6 million people have been infected in South Africa, with more than 56,000 deaths. Tuso Kumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Still on COVID, the World Health Organization is asking for 20 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine for African countries to administer second doses to those who have received their first shot. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
After 3 weeks of declining rates of COVID-19 infections in Africa, the World Health Organization is reporting an increase in cases. It says its latest figures of more than 4.7 million cases, including 128,000 deaths, indicate a 17% rise over the previous week. WHO Regional Director for Africa, Matshidiso Moeti, says she is concerned, but that it is too soon to tell whether Africa is on the cusp of a third wave.
While it's too soon to say if Africa is seeing a resurgence, however, we're seeing increases in a number of countries, we are monitoring the situation very closely. And we see that we are balancing on a knife edge. So this makes the rapid rollout of COVID-19 vaccines all the more important.
Moeti says South Africa accounts for nearly one-third of the 65,000 new cases reported by WHO. She says she fears new variants of the virus circulating in South Africa may be spreading into neighboring countries. She notes Namibia and Zambia are among 11 African countries experiencing more cases. So far, 28 million COVID-19 doses of different vaccines have been administered in Africa, a continent of 1.4 billion people. Moeti says Africa needs at least 20 million second doses of the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine by mid-July to give everyone who has received the first dose full immunity.
Africa needs vaccines now. Any pause in our vaccination campaigns will lead to lost lives and lost hope. Another 200 million doses are needed so that the continent can vaccinate 10% of its population by September this year.
Moeti appeals to countries that have vaccinated their high-risk groups to share their excess doses with Africa. She notes France is the first country to donate tens of thousands of doses to Africa from its domestic supply. WHO says the European Union has pledged more than 100 million doses for low-income countries, and the United States has promised to share 80 million doses with lower-income countries. Other wealthy countries have said they will follow suit. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Saudi Arabia is requesting all pilgrimage for the scaled back annual Hajj in July to be vaccinated against COVID-19. In Tanzania, where vaccinations have still not begun, Muslims hoping to go to Makkah are urging authorities to start vaccinating. For VOA News, Charles Kombe reports from Dar es Salaam.
Omari Abubakari, like many other Muslims in Tanzania, wants to make the pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca. It's an integral part of the Muslim faith, but for now, only those immunized against COVID-19 can take part in this year's Hajj. Abubakari is worried because vaccinations in Tanzania have yet to be approved.
The time remaining is limited, but still, we haven't given up. We expect our top leaders to check on the issue of vaccination carefully so as we can accomplish this holy worship. We failed to go last year because of this disaster, and if it continues till next year, it means our worship has ended. To us, this is the main pillar of our religion.
Until earlier this year, Tanzanian authorities had rejected COVID-19 vaccines. Then President John Magufuli instead promoted false remedies for the disease. Soon after Magufuli's death in March, his successor, Samia Hassan, formed a COVID-19 task force to advise her government on handling the infections. In their report 2 weeks ago, the committee declared the vaccines to be effective and recommended that travelers going abroad be among those to get their shots first.
The committee advises the government using its institutions, continues and moves to allow free vaccines, using vaccine brands listed by the World Health Organization, because the shots are effective and safe since they are scientifically proved.
Last week, President Hassan said the government is checking to see if COVID-19 vaccines that are available in other countries can be ordered for Tanzanians. But with no vaccination campaign in sight, Muslim leaders see the chances of Tanzanians attending this year's pilgrimage to be low at best.
I cannot say that we can't accomplish Hajj worship, but the percentages seem to be very low to accomplish the worship this year. The remaining percentages only Allah will decide, because even if we get vaccinated, as our leaders are struggling to accomplish, still, time is a challenge.
Meanwhile, COVID-19 has not stopped Tanzanians like Abu Bakari from continuing to worship in mosques. But for now, his plan to join his fellow Muslims in Mecca for Hajj prayers remains up in the air. Charles Kombe for VOA News in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and the Africa Center for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The AE Joint Stars women's football team are the champions of the First South Sudan Women's League. The AE girls beat WAO women's team 4-0 in the last game of the league on Sunday at Bullock Playgrounds in Juba. Hundreds of fans from AE turned out to boost the morale of their team as they won the championship and received their trophy. For VOA News, David Monodanga reports from Juba.
Hundreds of Ye fans turned up in Juba to celebrate and boost the spirits of the small London girls, as they are known locally, otherwise known as the Ye Joint Stars, as they were crowned champions of the first ever FIFA recognized league in South Sudan. Ye Joint Stars head coach Sonny Harriet Amaka says she wants her team to retain the league title for 3 straight years.
The journey is not going to stop today, because you see, as for now, Ye Joint Star will be added, maybe we'll head to Kenya for the African, or maybe for CAF Champions League tournament in Kenya. So it means that you have to focus, we have to put more effort so that we perform a lot of duties to these girls to maybe promote them to also perform better. And also, it's not all that might be today. We still tomorrow, we have to work hard that us being the champions, we still have to maintain the positions, and we still, to me as a coach for Ye Joint Star, I make sure next year I'll surprise people that I have to take. I want to maintain it, because these strategies are going to be for 4 years. It's going to be played 4 years in South Sudan, and I make sure at least Ye Joint Star maintain the position 3 times consecutively. That is my target, and this is my dream.
Team captain Aikorowini, who has been away at school in Uganda, says the players aspire to make the Stars even stronger next season.
We are real happy for you, Joint Stars, and we are still going to remain there. We are not going to change because we want to fight for our home. We want football to develop in here more than the football in the city. We are going to stand. We are going to stand firm, and really want to inspire those guys who are still in here to come back. And we made a strong team for Yeri Joint Stars. Wherever other players will go back to school, because most of us will study in Uganda, but we still have that love that we have to play for our home team.
The Joint Stars won the league with a total of 33 points and were presented a check for $3,000. The Torit women were runners-up with a total of 26 points, winning $2,000. In individual awards, Bintu United's team captain Chan Thomas was awarded overall best player of the tournament. Juba Superstars team captain Emi Lasso was the league's top scorer with 11 goals, and Yeri Joint Stars striker Deborah Adut finished second with 9 goals. The Golden Glove went to Kalda Hassin, goalkeeper for the Juba Superstars and the national women's team, the Bright Starlets of South Sudan. Yeri Joint Stars will represent South Sudan in the 2021 CAF Women's Champions League Finals in late November in Kenya, where 7 teams will square off through zonal qualifiers, including CECAFA joining the winner of the host nation. Besides host Kenya, Tanzania, South Sudan, Uganda, Ethiopia, Sudan, Eritrea, Djibouti, Rwanda, Burundi, and Zanzibar will all be sending teams to the club competition. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
We love to hear what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202-630-8011. We'll air your comments every Friday. We'll now leave you with some traditional Baka song recorded in Tore Payam earlier this month. Listening to some traditional Baka song. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening, and remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.